CBS in the World. I'm John Baxter. June of 2015, the United States Office of Personnel Management reveals that it has been breached by bad actors. 22.1 million records affected, including the national security apparatus, past, present, and future of the United States of America. What was done? I welcome John Bolton, former National Security Advisor for the United States, former Ambassador to the United Nations for the United States, writing most recently at the National Review about cyberspace. John, a very good evening to you. Your records are in Beijing. My family includes somebody in the national security apparatus. His records are in the Beijing, and so are his children in Beijing forever. That is a cost that has no number next to it, considering the vulnerability that my relatives now bear. However, since then, we've been apprised that the Obama administration, the Trump administration, now the Biden administration, know the source of these attacks. It's the Chinese Communist Party and their wingman, Russia. What is to be done is the subject of your essay. Have I said it correctly, John? What is to be done? We haven't decided yet. Good evening to you, John.
Well, good evening. Look, it is truly personal when you know that the Chinese have your FBI background investigations, at least as of 2015. And I can only hope I've really truly lived a boring life, and who knows what else they'll find on other people. But it goes to the point when you're being hacked, and we've seen this before 2015. That was a big one, but right up to the past days, China and Russia and others have been hacking away. What are we going to do about it? I think the only way to make cyberspace even partially safe is for the U.S. not simply to have good defenses, although we need that. We need a good offense, too. We need to establish structures of deterrence in cyberspace as we have everywhere in other human domains, so that the potential attacker knows that he will suffer far more than the cost he can impose on us. And if we fail to do that, as the Obama administration failed to do, and I fear that the Biden administration is failing to do, we will simply have more trouble.
Your reporting is that the Obama administration poured all of its energy and imagination into defense. Did it work, John?
No, it didn't, because the attacks have increased. They've grown in scope and sophistication. And I really do think that a large part of the Obama administration problem, shared by many Americans, let's be honest about it, was that they thought the Internet was just the Garden of Eden. Everything was wonderful. All this information flowing back and forth, cost-free, no problems at all, until they began to see what could be made of the cyber world and what damage could be caused. But they were still afraid to take responsive action because, you know, after all, it's just a few things in the Garden of Eden. We don't need to worry about it. We do need to worry about it. Cyberspace is the same as every other area of human activity. You've got the good right along with the bad, and plenty of bad, and you need to be prepared to deal with that.
Two details. Cyberspace, is it different than the South Pacific 1942, John, or are these the same things?
Well, I think in many respects they are the same thing, and we have gone through enormous strategic thinking in this country, particularly in the area of nuclear weapons in the new atomic age, how to create deterrence, how to prevent nuclear warfare. There's a huge conceptual debate about how to do this, and there were some good ideas and some bad ideas, but we got through it without a nuclear attack on the United States. In cyberspace today, the country is filled with people who are very creative in thinking up defenses and penetrating dangers and trying to alert us to the threats we face. But we don't yet have the conceptual level of what attacks on us amount to acts of war, what are acts of espionage, what are acts of larceny, and what are acts of sabotage. Not every cyber attack is the same, and therefore not every threat is the same, and obviously every response is not the same. We're at the very early stages of this, and we need a lot of work, and we need it fast.
You reference Herman Kahn's very famous, infamous, on escalation ladder, 44 steps for a nuclear scenario. Is there something comparable for cyberspace now, John?
There is not, and that's part of our problem. I just gave four rough steps that are frequently used. I didn't develop them, but I think they're pretty straightforward. But it doesn't nearly reach the level of sophistication and thinking that I think our adversaries are already undertaking in their offensive cyber operations. Take the hack of the federal personnel records that you mentioned, the potential for bribery, the potential for embarrassment, the potential for physical harm against individuals is a threat that it's very hard to measure. We've done basically nothing in response. What does that tell the Chinese or the Russians or the North Koreans or many others?
The treaty route, John, is that advised at this point for all parties to come together and lay down rules that have violated their obvious going to be penalties?
No, because I don't think we, number one, I don't trust our adversaries. I think they'd be happy to enter into an agreement. They'd be delighted, and they would sign it with great flourishes, and then they'd violate it within minutes. We need to understand more what our protections are, what offensive capabilities we need. This is not to engage in more hostilities in cyberspace. It's to create conditions that reduce hostilities. But before you put it down on a piece of paper that for the United States we would consider binding on our actions, we need to know the consequences very thoroughly. And at this stage, we do not.
The next steps for the Biden administration, you're saying that they're still thinking about this. They're planning it. Their choice are more defenses, such as the Obama administration, or what, John? Do we know what a goal would be so we can measure?
I fear that the Obama administration, which after all is the source of most of the people working in the Biden administration, is having an influence beyond its time. And I worry that many of the people are so conditioned by the attitudes that were expressed under Obama that they want to revert back to them. I think that would be a huge mistake. That's why, among other things, we need this conceptual debate, and we need it in public, and we need to thrash it out. There can be reasonable disagreements on this. But every day we delay, and I would say particularly in foreign policy, the Biden administration is no speed demon. Every day we delay, our adversaries are making progress.
You say that cyberspace is something that hybrid warfare would help. How so, John? Hybrid warfare, as expressed by Vladimir Putin, is men without badges. What would it look like with cyberspace?
Yeah, I mean, another way to put it is the combination of political and military objectives in ways that advance the interest of our adversaries. And in cyberspace, you can influence opinion. You can change facts on the ground. I can penetrate your bank account and change your bank balance. You can do a lot of things that have a political effect without visible use of military force. And I think this is, in a sense, the way cyberspace is an equalizer. It just takes people at a computer with computing capabilities and power and a little creativity. You don't need masses of capital expenditures on ships and planes and things of that nature. So if we're not careful, we will see our adversaries develop or expand the advantage they already have in cyberspace in ways that can be clearly very dangerous to us.
John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, writing at the National Review about what is to be done. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.